took, let me back up just a minute. You know what it takes to make it into heaven? There'll be no sin to enter into heaven. No sin whatsoever. Yet all of us are sinners. How do we get there? It has certainly been preached and it's been taught upon here this week. I hope that God could take something and use something and someone might have the right words that the Holy Spirit could use to rally divide your soul from God's Spirit and you see your state of separation. Sinners can't make it into heaven. There'll be no sin there. So how do we get there? I'm going to use this analogy. If someone ever took my son and they killed my son, I would have every right to put them to death. Brother Nathan spoke about the fury and the wrath of God. Could you imagine how furious you'd be if someone killed somebody you loved? Can you imagine the fury that would build up inside of you? You see, no sin can enter into heaven. Somebody had to pay the sin debt.
Right.
Somebody had to pay the debt for your sins. You see, if I had every right, if somebody was, and certainly the Lord knows, I hope this never happens, but if somebody ever took my son and they killed my son, I would have every right to put them to death. But you know what happens? God certainly loves His creation, don't He? Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody come into me that had just killed my son, if they come up to me and they told me, God, I just merely accept Your forgiveness. If they said, Daniel, I accept Your pardon, You can go ahead and set me free now. Do you know the fury that I would have with that individual? Do you know that it's your sin that put Jesus on the cross? Do you realize that you're guilty in the eyes of an almighty and a just God?
Right.
Do you see that tonight? Do you see all the sin that is in this world had to be taken? Because there'll be no sin to enter there.
Right.
You're guilty in the eyes of God. And I want to try to prove that, the Lord's help. If you want to turn over here with me. Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, it says, Then said Jesus unto him, let me back up just a minute, let me start here at verse 51. It says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck a servant on the ear of the high priest and smote his ear off. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on here. And I'll try to skip over some of the reading. I'll just try to fill you in. You see, what had happened was, we know about Judas Iscariot, which went and betrayed Jesus. And he went and basically went and told the Sanhedrin court system there that Jesus was the Messiah and that where they could capture him at. And so he led the Jewish army there to come and to capture Jesus. And so whenever they come to capture him, I can just see Peter now as the Jewish soldiers started approaching Jesus. I can just see they're coming to get him and Jesus being willing to go because he knows what's coming. And And I can see all this taking place, and I can see Peter saying, "No, you're not taking my Lord," and coming after him and saying, "He's going to stay with me." And he was willing right there at that point in time to certainly give up his life to stay close to Jesus. It's certainly a pretty picture. But right here, then right after all this happened, it says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Put again up thy sword into its place, for they will take the sword, or for they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You see, what we're talking about here and who we're dealing with is God in the flesh. You see, He was God. He was perfect. He come down to this world in all the splendors of glory, come down to this world and lived a perfect life, was tempted by the devil. He went through the same temptations that you go through in the flesh. He went through them, but He was able to overcome them. He didn't fall like Adam did. He didn't partake in any of the sin. You see, He lived a perfect life. And when He did, those soldiers come to get Him. You know those soldiers, if Jesus wouldn't have wanted them to, those soldiers couldn't have held Him. They couldn't have.
Try.
Those soldiers couldn't have taken Jesus if He didn't allow them to do so.
Right.
Thinkest that I cannot call my Father and Him not send me 12 legions of angels to come and to take them out? You see, the reason He went through it is because He knew your sins needed to be forgiven. And He loved you so much, He was willing to take your sins upon Himself.
So that He could forgive you. So He could clean you up.
We find over here in Matthew in 27, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall. So they've already captured Him at this point. They've already took Him before Pilate. They've already took Him and was ready to crucify Him here. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put upon His head and a reed in his right hand and bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon Him, and they took the reed and they smote Him on the head. Listen, I want you to understand. Listen, He was certainly the rose among the thorns. I'm telling you, what the thorns represent is your sin. Every little white lie that you may have told, every little thing you may have done, every time mama or daddy said don't do it, and you done it anyway. You thought you got away with it, but you thought wrong. I'm telling you, God knows you. He knows what you've done. We're born sinners. That's why we sin, because we're sinners.
Yep.
The very best works that we can do is filthy rags in the eyes of God. You say you've got nothing to offer God, but just as I was telling you before, listen, just as I was telling you, if somebody was to have killed my son, and I told you that if they come in and they just merely told me that they would accept my pardon, accept my forgiveness, how furious that I would be. You know what would happen? And I don't know what I would do in that state. I can't promise you what I would do because I don't know, and I hope I never have to find out. But I can tell you what God will do. I can tell you what He done because I know what He done because He done it for me. You see, my sins is what the reason Jesus had to die. That we read about, that represents sin. It represents sin. My sin. Your sin.
They placed it on his head. And they took a reed and they drove it down in his head. I'm telling you, our sins, he took every bit of it in. He drunk it in the cup of the Garden of Gethsemane. Listen, and he began to sweat blood because he didn't want to roll around in the filth of this world. Our sins, they sunk in. And he took every bit of it willingly. He didn't have to do it, but he done it so he could make a way for you.
Try it.
You talk about a love beyond my understanding. Oh, you talk about a love beyond my understanding. Listen. Oh, if somebody in that analogy that I was talking about with my son, if somebody come in and they couldn't even so much as even look at me, and all they could do is just, I deserve death. I should have done this. I deserve whatever you give me. But just before you kill me, before you take my life, please just forgive me. Do you see the difference in true remorse and true repentance versus just that I'm sorry? Situation. You say this is reality. And the reality is, you're guilty.
Right.
In the eyes of a just God.
That's right.
Oh, listen, I can tell you what happened to me whenever I was a 10-year-old boy, and I began praying and pouring my heart out to God. Listen, I began praying and I began trying to bargain with God. I began telling him that I wanted him more than I did my friends. And I began telling him I could let go of my friends and I could give them up. And I could give up my mom and dad and I could give that up. And I really meant it. I wholeheartedly meant those things. And it come down to my little sister. And for me, from my experience, that was how it happened for me. It come down to where I knew there was something standing in my way between me and God. And it was my little sister. I was a 10-year-old boy with a 3-year-old little sister, and I thought I had to protect her. I had to take care of her. I was big brother, and it was my responsibility to take care of my little sister. I didn't think anybody could do it as good as I could. I remember bowing down and trying to get somewhere with God, and that stood in my way for a little while. And I remember finally saying, okay, God, I'll give her up. I'll give up my little sister. And I'm telling you, that quick, God called my bluff. He come down, and for me, it was just like me and him on that altar for that moment in time. And I felt more conviction fall upon my heart than I ever have in my life. And it was just like he said, Daniel, you lied to me. Because I didn't mean it with my whole heart. You see, God knows the very intent of our heart.
Right.
You can't lie to God. You can't hide from God. You can't cover it up. You can't stick it in a closet. There's not a hole deep enough on this earth that he don't know about.
Right.
But at that moment of time, when God convicted me, for me, I just poured my heart out. I give him my whole heart. And I said, God, you take it all. You take my life. You take it all. Ain't nothing worth it. And I don't think I ever said anything out loud. But I said it from here. And I'm telling you, I went from the most trouble I've ever felt in my life to just peace. It wasn't anything big. And that's been illustrated here this week. And I'm very thankful for that. But what it was exactly what he said. He said, peace will I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid.
You see, at that moment in time, whenever I was bowing down and praying, and it was just me and God, I stood before God as a sinner. I stood before God needing a Savior. I stood before God needing mercy to be shown. And I'm telling you, mercy stepped in for me.
I'm so thankful for that. I wanted to step in for you. Listen, I want you to be saved. I want you to understand you need a Savior.
Right.
His name's Jesus.
Amen.
That's who you need. The burden, the knocking, the feeling that you have, you don't have to carry it with you anymore. You don't have to. But what you've got to do is you've got to give it all to Jesus is who you've got to give it to. And if you will, listen, He'll take it. He'll clean you up. He'll take the old burden, the old hardened heart. Listen, that old beaten chest, He'll take it. Peace. Peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Please, I beg of you. I beg of you. The Lord is dealing with you. Don't put it off too long. You're guilty. You're guilty in the eyes of God. You know, right now, we feel like that we've got all the time in the world. We do. We think, maybe we think, hey, there's something at home we really want to do. I can't wait till this is over. Can't wait till revival's over. And then we can go do the things we want to do. We can enjoy ourselves and we can do all that. Listen, if you're still lost, you're still carrying that with you.
Right.
Wouldn't you want it gone? Wouldn't you want that to be done away with? You know how much more enjoyable life is to have peace with God than it is to have the burdens of your sin holding you back and holding you down?
Yeah, right.
Give your heart to God. Let Him save your soul. Get yourself out of the way. Fully surrender and fully try God one time.
Amen.
One time. Just fully trust Him.
Right.
And I promise He'll save your soul.
Right.
He is no respecter person. Listen, we play a... And I'm going to steal one for my dad for a minute, but we play a game called hide and seek. And in that game, hide and seek, everybody likes to go to the hiding of the... I see, I guess some nieces and nephews that come over the house and they play with my kids. And my kids, every one of them all want to go do the hiding. None of them really want to come out and do the seeking, do they? But listen, whenever God convicts you of your sins, it's time for you to start seeking God right then. You need to find Him. And listen, He's even drawing you. Come out from your hiding and start doing some seeking.
Amen.
In that game. In that game, whenever they get done counting, you know, we go, we close our eyes and we hide, and whenever we're closing our eyes, we count to 10 or 20 or whatever the number may be to give everybody a chance to go hide, don't we? But whoever's doing the seeking at the time, once they get to that number, they say, ready or not, here I come. And everybody starts getting pretty antsy, don't they? And they start really trying to really snuggle up in some good hiding place, don't they? You know what's going to happen whenever God gets ready for your time to be over? It's not going to be ready or not, here I come. It's going to be ready or not, here I am. There is no hiding place. And the Bible says you'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you to hide you from the face of God.
That's right.
But there's no hiding place. He created this whole world. There's nowhere you can go that He don't know about. I beg of you to seek Him and to find Him before that time comes when He says, ready or not, here I am. When He says, ready or not, here I am. When it's time for you to meet your Maker, are you going to stand before Him and say, God, I'm guilty now. God, now I'm guilty. God, now I acknowledge that You sent Your Son to die for me. Now I'm sorry. Are you going to go ahead and repent now and get things fixed up now while there's still time? My Bible tells me that in that day, listen, that they'll be crying out and they'll be saying, have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name? And listen, I wholeheartedly believe there's going to be a lot of them saying, God, I'm sorry. God, one more chance. You know what He's going to do? I never knew you.
Right.
Cast you off in outer darkness. I never knew you. Is that really how you want your life to turn out? Is that really where you want your soul to spend eternity? Wouldn't you rather spend eternity with God? Peace, love. The choice is certainly yours. There's nobody to force you to do anything. If we force you, then that takes the free will being poured out of it, don't it? There's no works that you can do good enough to get there. But what you can do is get forgiveness from God. He loves you enough. He sent His only Son for you. It's up to you to seek His forgiveness. It's my message, brother. If you'll get us a song together.